Hello, everybody. Can y'all hear me? Okay. Thank you for coming to our panel, Flash, F-Bomb or Da-Bomb. I'm the moderator. My name is Aubrey Gross, and I'm the marketing manager for Apogee Results, and maybe I need a little bit closer. And then I'll just let everybody else kind of introduce themselves, and then we will get started.
My name's Philip Gross. I have a number of years of usability experience with Flash. I'm here to speak about the accessibility, or in many times, lack thereof. As a casual computer user, as a computer user for work, for entertainment, and for testing website accessibility.
My name is David Green. I am creative and interactive director for Creative Spark. What we do is we do technical and creative solutions for today's business challenges. I've been a longtime user of Flash, and it's one of the primary tools in our arsenal, at least this month.
And I'm Christine Schackinger. I'm kind of a Jane of all trades. So I'm an on-site implementation specialist when it comes to accessibility and usability for government websites, code remediation, things of that nature. And then I also am a search engine optimizer, inbound marketing. I speak at SMX, PubCon, and SES, and write for Search Engine Watch.
So thank you, everybody, for coming. The hashtag is FlashBomb if you want to follow it on Twitter. And then afterwards, we'll have time for Q&A. And whenever they wanted me to let y'all know that if you do have questions, raise your hand, and the nice gentleman wearing the tinfoil hat will bring you the microphone so that everybody up here can hear you. And with that, I kind of wanted to intro this by saying that we don't intend for this to be a flash bashing panel. That's not the intent here. So if that's what you were hoping for, sorry if you're going to be disappointed. And then I just kind of wanted to start off by asking everybody here, how many of you know what a screen reader is? Raise your hands. Okay. Oh, yay. A lot of you do. How many of you have ever listened to a screen reader or have used a screen reader to understand how it reads websites? Okay, cool. Awesome. All right. So just kind of to dive in, for you, it was about halfway for both answers, which is pretty good. So our first question that we wanted to get to kind of is how do blind internet users deal with Flash? And Philip, he's born blind. He's been using computers for forever, really. And so I just kind of wanted to get his perspective on what his experience is whenever he goes to a website that's programmed in Flash, since I think those of us who are sighted sometimes have issues completely understanding kind of the murkiness that goes along with it. So, Philip?
Well, let me start off by saying, for those of you who don't know, just to clear everything up, a screen reader is a piece of software that is installed on a computer that, through synthesized speech through the sound card, reads what normally goes to your screen. But when I visit a Flash website, it varies, but say the website's designed entirely in Flash. I might at times just hear that a Flash window's starting, and then move down and hear that that's the end of the Flash window. At other times, I might get that there are several unlabeled buttons. I'll have to click on each of those buttons to hopefully learn what they do, unless they take me to another Flash window that is also unlabeled, which has unfortunately happened. And you also have the websites with the embedded Flash video players. And in that case, I can usually stop and start the video, though if I need to read something along with the video, there usually aren't shortcut keys, etc., so that maybe I can turn the video down and hear my screen reader at the same time.
So when you encounter a site like this, what do you usually do? Do you just exit out of it and say, kind of like, screw you, I'm not going to work with you, I'm not going to buy your product because I can't learn about it, or because you're an idiot who programmed in Flash? Is that your opinion, or try to get somebody else to research it for you?
It really depends. I mean, in the case of, there just being a video player, I'll usually stop it and try and get the content around it. If it's a complete Flash site, for example, many realtors use complete Flash sites. So when I was buying a house and researching realtors, those realtors didn't get my business because I couldn't learn anything about them from their websites. And then, you know, you also have your flash menus, and in those cases, I might be able to get around and learn about you. I might not. But if I can't learn about you from your website, more than likely, I'm going to go to a company that is accessible.
So, Christine, since you kind of are an expert with the accessibility and you do a lot of government work, what's kind of been your experience regarding the accessibility and flash and what your clients ask you for and what those reasons are?
Well, the reasons generally are because it's a legal requirement. So, but even the government's not really the best at doing it, because usually it's an outside agency that's done the implementation work. So we have to go in and review what the outside agency's done and then fix it. So, but there is an So we have to go in and actually make the player accessible, or tell them that we can't use it at all. In general, we can't use it at all. So that's generally what happens.
Okay. So kind of moving away from how the blind users access Flash. As a marketer, I look at accessibility not only from the aspect of Philip being my husband, but also as the fact that accessibility, I think, is generally a good thing, because that means you're going to reach a bigger audience. And so I wanted to ask both David and Christine for your perspectives on search engine optimization and Flash, and kind of what your perspective is on those things, because that's another accessibility issue within Flash, because Google kind of crawls a website much like a screen reader crawls a website.
Well, there's some difference. There's a minor difference, and I'm a little congested. Sorry about that. The thing about Google is Google and Adobe have a partnership, right? So Google can read some of what Flash puts out, right? It can get into the code, and it can read like text. The problem is, though, even then, you still only have a one-page website. So, how many people in here know about search engine optimization? Yay! How many people know that a one-page website's a bad thing? Okay, so good. So it doesn't matter if the spider can actually get into your Flash, because if you only have a one-page URL, a one-page website, which is what happens with Flash, then you only have, if you're doing it all in Flash, then you only have this one-page website. So you could have basically what looks like a 100-page site to the front-end user on a Flash site, but to the spider at Google, it only looks like you have a one-page website. So there are ways to implement Flash inside a website, you know, to make it look prettier or something of that nature. But if you're implementing an entire Flash website, I always advise a client that's a very bad idea, because it won't give you the content that you need, and content is what Google goes for. This year they had 5 or 6 Panda updates. I don't know if anybody knows about Panda. Panda? Anybody? Okay, so not very many people. Panda is what really destroyed a lot of websites this year. Hub Pages, I believe, was one of them. Today's Show actually lost 60% of their pages in the search engine because of the Panda update. It's called thin content, basically, is what got people knocked out of the engine. So if you don't have a lot of good content on your site got knocked down in the rankings. And Flash would be a very perfect example of why your site, if you had a Flash site, would not be doing very well right now.
David, you have any perspective on that?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting the way Adobe has handled SEO and Flash, because people build lots of sites in Flash. Building your entire site in Flash is not a good idea for the reasons that Christine was mentioning. With Google, what happens is they get up to the hashtag, and that's where it stops. So most of the Flash sites, the way they're set up, is that after the hashtag, that's what makes the page go in between pages of content. Google can read it, but the other part of that is there's no deep linking. So after the hashtag, it will just bring you to the home. If it's indexed by Google, it'll just bring you to the home page. The other thing that was interesting about Adobe was I went to their website to say, okay, how are they addressing this? And they put up a 5-part video series, which Christine was mentioning is kind of funny, because video is not SEO friendly in the first place, so that was their way of addressing it. And then the 5-part series was from 2009 and kept saying, yes, we're going to give you all this technical information about our fabulous solutions. It's been nothing since that 5-part video series, so they just kind of left it there. And just from a developer standpoint, what I found was also really interesting about it was they started to pay at least lip service to addressing SEO issues from a technical perspective, but what they didn't do was Flash and Flash development doesn't just live in a vacuum. There are teams of people that are out there that are selling Flash, and what they didn't do was give the account people and the other people that are as part of your teams that are out talking to clients about Flash, the tools to say, hey, here's some Flash. And when someone says, hey, I'm worried about whatever this content is being found by a search engine, they didn't give them a tool to come back to them and say, yes, it's okay. You can put on Flash on your site and it will be identified. They dropped the ball there. And I think that that's shows kind of short-sightedness on the part of Adobe.
And also, just to address one other thing, again, we're talking about full Flash sites, too. There are ways to use Flash as an enhancement, right, a visual enhancement to a site, or if you're behind a login, right? If you're behind a login, it doesn't necessarily matter for search engines. Now, it does matter for accessibility, which is a different thing. If you're behind a login, a search engine isn't getting inside that content. But a person that who needs it for accessibility is. So that's another story. If it's just a graphical enhancement element, though, that's different, because for accessibility purposes or for SEO purposes, it's just an enhancement. It's just a design enhancement. So that can work for either side of the aisle. But another thing that commonly people use with Flash is the behind the page HTML, right? Has anyone ever used that? Who does Flash? Okay. For SEO purposes, that's a no-no. How many people know that? Okay, a couple people, right? Because you're serving different content to the user and the search engine, and that's a specific no-no in Google's terms of service. And by the way, the reason I'm only talking about Google is Google has 80% of the market in the United States and 99% of the market internationally in some countries. So, you know, Bing, maybe one day they'll have a good part of the market. Right now they don't. If you optimize for Google, you get a good portion of Bing anyways. So that's why we're talking about Google primarily.
So we had an interesting comment on our Twitter hashtag saying that there is accessibility built into Flash, and it can be 508 compliant. It's up to the developers to build it correctly. David and Christine, as developers, have either of you had experience with that and figuring out how to make it 508 compliant?
First of all, who does anyone want to raise their hand on that one? No? Yes? Okay. 508 compliance is actually going away. 508 refresh is actually what CAG AA standard. Does anyone know about what CAG AA? Okay, great. At least two people do. What CAG AA is actually the international standard. 508 is a United States standard that we made up ourselves. I went to China actually 2 years ago to teach Chinese province officials from like little rural areas of China how to do with CAG AA, because they signed and ratified a treaty that other countries have ratified to make the web accessible for their citizens. We have signed it, not ratified it. There's a Justice Department right now review on whether we need to make the web accessible for all people. It won't go down to the level of like a small business person, but it could be the level of banks, travel agencies, things of that nature, right? So what CAG AA is the standard, the 508 refresh project, which has been already put through government in 18 to like 24 months, the government will be required to be what CAG AA standard. So that 508 in Flash won't actually comply with the CAG AA standard. Does it meet some accessibility needs? Sure, it meets some, but it's still hard to implement. Still, when we get something in at, I can't say the site I work on, but it's a major government site, we still have to make modifications, and we still have to kind of jerry-rig it to get it to work properly with all devices. And because when we test, we don't just use a reader. We use Dragon, we use assistive devices, we use other things. So people think that when you do accessibility testing, all you do is use screen reader testing. But there's actually a whole other area of accessibility testing that's way beyond just for people who can't see.
The other thing you have to remember is while 508 does currently exist, it only is mandatory for government websites. Private parties don't have to follow it. And, you know, that has been argued and fought over some, including the, I'm not sure exactly where the Target lawsuit gets into that, but it does. But you also have to think that there are so many developers out there, and one person often learns from another person who learns from another person, and if that original person isn't taught accessibility standards and it's not known about, then more and more people don't learn those standards.
Well, from a development standpoint, very few clients actually bring up accessibility when you're talking to them. Was working with eBay last year, and that was one of the few clients that's ever brought up accessibility. And that was just for straight HTML, but they had very specific, strict standards, and we work with them on that. So before coming here, I decided to ask the people I've been in contact with at eBay in regards, do they have a policy for accessibility and at Flash? And the response was, basically what they try and do is dissuade people, their developers, from using Flash for their site. It's not something that they really want. And if developers insist on using it, they send them to the standards that are at Adobe. Interesting thing about the standards at Adobe was I was talking with Bob Regan, who was head of accessibility at Adobe in the early 2000s. And those standards were developed from the J.K. Rowling site. Actually, that site went up. They saw it. It was an all-Flash site. And they went back to him and said, this is great, but what about those kids that want this content but are blind? They can't get it. So the developers of that site worked with them to really make that site accessible. But what they had to do was they did a lot of alternate work in Flex. So if you went to the site and you were just a standard viewer, you'd get it in Flash. If you were on any type of reader, it would redirect you to a Flex-based site. And for that, what they did was they streamlined the content that would work for readers. Because you also have to remember, Flash is a very visual medium. A lot of the games that they things they had on there were games and activities that were not going to work for an accessible an audience that has accessibility issues. Because when you look at something, you can see hundreds of streams of information and you get it. But when you're doing it for a reader, it needs to be condensed down to one audio stream. So they work with Flex to refine the experience into something that would work for readers, and that's what the accessibility standards at Adobe are based on.
Okay. Just hearing some of the things that y'all are saying, the question popped in my mind, and it's one that Philip and I sometimes talk about, is accessibility a right, or is it something that should just be thought about and done from an ethical standpoint, but that isn't necessarily a right from the user perspective?
I mean, personally, I think anyone should have the right to use the web as anyone else does, you know, whether they have a disability or not. But as a boss once told me, you're never going to convince anybody it's the right thing to do. So you have to convince them that it's the business thing to do, right? Is that true? Yes? No? What do you think? Everyone's kind of like, I'm tired. It's the third night. Interact is almost over. I've been partying every night. I'm exhausted. Should we do jumping jacks or something, right, in here? So the point is, the way I look at it is, it's actually a smart business decision. And I get a little flack of that sometimes with the accessibility community because everyone wants it to be the right thing to do. And it is, to me, the right thing to do. But it's a smart business decision for this reason. I call it universal design. First of all, if you do code your website right to begin with, it's only 2% extra effort to make it accessible. Okay, and Flash, whatever you're doing. In addition, and I'm going to go from the general question of accessibility, not just for Flash. Second, it makes your website do better in the search engines. Okay, because your code's clean. If you follow the WCAG AA standard, it's going to work in every device, even if you don't go for a mobile website. It'll work in your mobile devices because of the way you've coded it. It also lessens your resources, right? So you're not, your CSS is separate from your HTML. Your code's clean. It expands properly on your mobile or your tablet, and it's very easy to change your design in and out if you need to. So it costs you less to do. It costs you less to change your designs in and out. It's easier to maintain. SEO is much better. Google loves accessibility. You do accessibility on your website, you will go up in your rankings automatically. Okay, so in addition to that, then you open yourself up to a whole new market of people that nobody is marketing to. When I did a travel industry report a few years back, it was a $13 billion market that nobody was marketing to. Because nobody, like I'm in Las Vegas, nobody was marketing in that Las Vegas hotel industry to people with accessibility issues. So it's a huge market of people that nobody has tapped. So it's a smart business decision. On top of that, I do think it's a right that everyone should be able to, in this day and age, access websites. Right? It's not that hard to code properly and then add 2% extra effort to make sure everybody can access what you put out there. So that's my soapbox.
See, I don't think it should be ordered. I don't think it should be mandatory that I should be able to access your website. But again, as Christine said, it's a very smart business decision For example, I use an iPhone because there's a screen reader built into it. I didn't have to pay extra for a screen reader. So if you're a business owner who builds accessibility into your website, whether it be Flash or not, then I'm more likely to buy from you, and there's a lot of us out there.
Well, it's when it gets down to it, I don't think it's not a Flash issue. It's an issue of really having the training for developers who are going forward to do it and the tools to let them do it easily. Because right now, to make a Flash website accessible, there's, you know, extra work that needs to go into it. And if you're talking to your clients, they need to subsidize that. Not everyone wants to subsidize that. So the conversation going forward should be really about how do we make this, you know, if you got a 22-year-old kid who's getting into this right now, they can just pick up Flash, get going. And there's nothing that's giving them information about how to make this site accessible. What's easy about that? How do you do that? It's not easy for them to do that. So that's what we should be talking about in terms of going towards the future. How do we make it easier and more efficient for people to develop for the accessibility market? Flash is just part of it. It's about structuring the information correctly.
And just to throw just a quick note out there, and I don't know where the Justice Department is on this right now, because I only know about last year, but the Justice Department did say that they always felt the web was under the ADA. So that was a comment they made last year. So just something to be aware of.
So speaking, though, of the future and where we should be going regarding accessibility and programs such as Flash, and I know, David, you've done some research on this, and I know I'm a little familiar with the fact that Adobe Edge right now is in beta. Where do all of you see the future of programs like Flash or programs that can kind of do similar things to Flash going, and how do you think that will help or hurt accessibility?
Well, Flash is an interesting case because there's the core of Flash is not just the web. In terms of Flash, one of the things that I found it really an incredible business tool is to leverage a production into a variety of different needs for a client. From a Flash perspective, you can make a website, you can do a CD-ROM, you can make a kiosk, you can export it out. It's got great print controls. I've had clients take little chunks and make them into trade show stuff. There's also the ability right now to, has anyone here ever experimented in exporting Flash out and playing it on an iOS device? Oh, well, has anyone ever taken Flash and done Flash on iOS?
Flash Mobile?
Yeah, because initially there was all the things that you can't do that, but you can do that. You have to jump through some fairly ridiculous little hoops. Apple doesn't like you doing it. I mean, who has ever heard of a P12 file format for a certificate? Anyway, it's just geeky, weird stuff that they make you go through. But Flash, as far as a tool, is not going to go away immediately. It's not going to be immediately replaced by HTML5. HTML5 is a standard. It's coming along, but there's no video codec for it. There's no streaming audio. I've tried all the different little plugins that are out there and conversion tools to try and make your Flash animation into a HTML5 compatible. It's still kind of wonky, you know? And with no sound, it means it's silent movies. I mean, who here is making silent movies? You know, it's not what the web is about and where it's going to. I know silent movies won big at the Oscars this year, but what we're doing with it is we're saying, okay, we are in a transitional point in technology. Flash's future is questionable. You know, there's no mobile plugin going it for the future. Right now, you look at it and you go, okay, HTML5 is a standard. It's not solidified. Where is it going? We don't know. What are the accessibility issues? Because it's going to have the same accessibility issues. It's about structuring the information. And that's the core of that. That's not done yet. But is Flash going to go away right now? Its utility as a tool is so vast, there's nothing to replace it right now. So we're left with this as a production tool, and accessibility, SEO issues. You need to strategically, you know, think about how you're going to use Flash on your site. It's not, I'm going to make a Flash-only site. That's kind of lunacy right now. You can't do that. But the future of Flash is in question. What makes it strong right now is it's got a 99% installed user base for the plugin. But plugins are going to be going away. Like I said, there's no mobile plugin for it. Microsoft has started saying next versions of operating systems are not going to be having plugins. Metro's not having it. So as the future goes forward, there's going to be a standardized HTML5 development platform and a declining installed user base for Flash. So it's right now, how do we make this work and what technologies do you choose to use?
Now, I can say, just on what you're saying, it may be the future of Flash, just veering off the accessibility thing real quick, is where you were talking about is offline. As in, I know somebody who just used Flash to develop all the new Ford inboard systems, right?
Yeah.
So they're using Flash now for the inboard dash systems, and that's what he just headed that project, right? So that's what they're using Flash for. Kiosks, as you mentioned. So Flash is actually not necessarily dying.
No.
But as far as a web-based technology, it might be that its time is starting to decline. But in other areas, they're finding that it's very useful as an encapsulated system where they can control its implementations. So.
Sorry, can I add a comment? I don't know if you have, but I was going to say that I think my view is that Flash is being sort of like reborn into beer. It's not really dying, but it's
I think so, yeah, because he's a very, in my area, extremely well-known Flash developer for the West Coast, and he's being called in on projects for systems like that, inboard dash systems, kiosk systems. He also does development for mobile using Air.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of that precisely, because I think the problem before was with browsers. I started using Flash because JavaScript didn't, you know, back 6-7 years ago, it just didn't cut it for everything. We wanted to experience the same thing across browsers. I think browsers are not the problem anymore. It's not the devices. Now you have to have your stuff running on an iPad, and you have to have it running on a website, and you want it on the desktop. And so it's the problem now is multi-device. And I think that Air now sort of like Flash is being reborn, solving that in a way, you know, that problem there. When I hear you say it, sometimes you know that you have problems taking. I'm a big Flash over here, Flash over the way. But I think that sometimes we try to do a little bit too much with Flash. I think that or Flex. I think that if you're having a hard time getting somewhere using Flash, I think you should ask yourself whether you're using the right tool for what you want to do. I think that Flash is not. Although I'm a big user of Flash, it's not the fit for everything. I think, you know, things depend on your audience and what you want to do, right?
Right, that's true with any tool. Can anyone in the back hear what he was saying? Yes, no? Everyone's asleep, like, I don't care. He was just saying they believe Flash is also probably being reborn, as we were talking about, but that you have to make sure that it's basically the right tool for the purpose, and maybe it's trying to be used too much, too many areas. And I do think it's like anything, right? When it starts to decline, people find a new use for it, I think. And I think that's what's happening with Flash. Yes?
As we move from Flash to other technologies, rich UIs like Ajax, are we substituting some accessibility problems with other accessibility problems? What's the accessibility landscape for Ajax applications?
They also have their issues. Go ahead.
It's anytime you have technology advances, accessibility will lag, and it's all going to depend on the technology being used. There, I know. JAWS being one screen reader, they've actually made some good advances with Ajax, but across the board, I can't answer that question.
I think the difference between an Ajax technology and like a Flash technology is Ajax, the content is there to be read if you can access it, through, you know, if you get to the scripting part, whereas a Flash is more encapsulated, so it's a little more difficult to access that information. But there is always a problem. Ajax has gotten better, just like Google Spider couldn't read it at first, and now I can read some Ajax. It's the same kind of thing. So, and did you?
I mean, I don't notice it. It's accessible enough that I don't notice it, and it doesn't bother me. It's nothing that slows me down.
And as Christine was saying, it's not encapsulated inside Flash. The information is still external, so it's easier for whatever reader is required, accessibility or SEO, to actually see the content, and that's always a benefit.
Now, one thing to be clear on, though, JAWS is the premier reader, but it's very expensive,
right.
So not everybody has access to JAWS. So
right.
There are other readers that don't have these capabilities. So whenever you're doing anything with the accessibility industry, and by the way, I hate the term, and I hope no one minds here, the term accessibility is sort of like the redheaded stepchild of the web industry. I call it universal design, because the truth is if you do these things for your website, you're really doing it for not just everybody, but you're doing it for the betterment of your own website. You're doing it for the betterment of your own company. And also, it includes, accessibility doesn't just include people who can't necessarily read a website because they can't see, but you're including people over maybe 55 who have just basic vision issues, or people who are colorblind. There's a great portion of men who have colorblindness issues. You're including people who just have dexterity issues. So the problem with accessibility is it tends to be this idea that we're only worried about this, like, 1% of the population or 2% of the population in most people's mind. That's not actually true. 60 million people in the United States declare a disability. And that's 1/6 of the American population, 1/5 of the American population declare a disability. But when you talk about accessibility and websites, people think, oh, I don't have to worry about that. And my users don't have that issue, right? But if you think of the biggest marketing population in the United States right now are baby boomers, right? They have the money and are spending it. People still aren't doing accessible websites. We couldn't convince Steve Wynn in Las Vegas, who is blind, legally blind, to do his own website with accessibility. Right? That's how hard it is to get people to understand. It's just a universal issue. Right? It's just it should just be what you do, because it's good for you, good for your website, and good for the people that use it. Oh, by the way, I feel sorry for you.
I'm sorry, but my point is that, and it's a question for Green, is working with high-end profile companies, it's in some cases, they many times decide, because they're so high profile, they want to stick to something very visual that Flash will accomplish, and they do not take care of their main target, which could be people with accessible disorders. Hotels, it happens all the time that they have these big budgets and the last thing they do is focus on the people, on the accessibility part. So my question at the end is, how do you scope with working with all these high-profile companies in order to convince them to move? Because after these kids see these big websites all done with Flash and they try to imitate what these big guys are doing, and they're not switching to pay more attention to accessibility, and these forgotten part of the world that needs a website that can be accessible for everyone.
Well, I think the key of what you said is that they go and build it, and then they talk about it. The point is that there's a point in the conversation to say, who is your audience? Let's define who your audience is and come up with a proper strategy to reach the audience you want. If that audience, if it's a mission-critical business decision to reach an audience that has accessibility issues, you need to know that up front so you can be planning for it correctly. You can't just build your whole website in Flash and then go, all right, let's backtrack our way. They're not going to have the budget, the time, the resources to make that happen. It's you look at it from a holistic perspective of going, I've got audiences to reach, I've got budgets, I've got production schedules. How do I approach this from the most reasonable, cost-effective perspective? Let's have that conversation now rather than you've gone down and you've built this incredible temple of visual that no one can see or has accessibility to if they're not sighted. That's just not going to make it work.
And I,
well, now finally, or just sticking out to know they want something that will still blow everybody's mind, and whenever you go to the site, it will just.
Well, Steve Wynn's a particular case because I actually know that site very well. I know people that have worked on it. So he's a very difficult case because he doesn't understand why his site is so bad. And if you've looked at it recently, it's, have you looked at it like in the big red button now, and the it's gone from like pretty to like, oh my God, 1998. It's really, really bad. But the point with that is you have to, I think, sort of what he was just saying is you have to approach the business decision. You can't say it's for accessibility, even though one of the top 10 markets for people with accessibility issues for travel is Las Vegas, right? Because it's easy to get around. And like when I did the travel report for the company I was working for, it was in the travel industry, and showed them it was a $13 billion untapped market during the beginning of the recession. And that Las Vegas hotels is one of the top 10 keywords for Las Vegas, with at the time I think it was a million visits, a million, you know, people viewing that keyword a month. You still couldn't convince them. But that's the only thing. So some people are unconvincible, right? Some people like Steve Wynn, you're just not going to convince. He thinks that Flash is the way you go, and no matter how much you tell him it's a poor business decision for his company, he's still going to do it. If you want to look at a particularly really awful website, go look at in Las Vegas. No, seriously, I just mean for fun. But unless they've changed it in the last 2 weeks, but it has like a big red button and black bars on the right side, left side. But that's beside the point. But the point being is, but the other ones, if you approach the business decision, like we were saying, that it's good for, you know, increasing your user base, not just among the accessible. And that's why I think you have to take it outside of just that, you know, baby boomers, 60 million people in the United States claim disability, you know, take it out of the idea that, because most people don't know somebody with a disability. Right? Most people don't know somebody who's blind that would be using a website with an accessible device. So I think you have to take it out of that and just tell them that it's good for them across the board. It's good for their SEO. It's good for their resources. It's good for their site management. It's good for lowering their IT costs. It's good for everything that they need. And it's good for increasing their market base.
And just to follow up on that, like I was telling you before about the J.K. Rowling site, it was all built in Flash, and then after they made the decision to make it more accessible, they redid bits of it in Flex, and the standards for that are on the Adobe site. So if you've got a client that's already gone down that path and is looking at it going, what do I do? Explore that route. That might be helpful.
I have a question. Sorry to burst the bubble a little bit here, but I have the job when I go to a client, and I've been sitting there with 40 people, and when I mention accessibility and other things, it's a money issue for most people. They just don't care. They say they're not our target audience.
Right.
That make the site go for it. And that's not just for people with disabilities, but I live in Canada, for example, and you know, we have like a bilingual thing going on. And, you know, sometimes you have to take care of English or French, so it's also a language thing, too. It's about audience, right? It's like, well, we're not catering to those people. We're, you know, we care about this audience in particular, so let's go with that. So, because I find that most of the time it's a money type of thing, like, if you're going to make it accessible, perhaps, you know, it's a little bit more expensive. Is there a website out there, or, is there a website out there that you can take and... talk business with people and say, I find it very interesting that you pointed out the statistics of people with disabilities in the States and everything. So I think that's something that, you know, you could go back and tell them, hey, if you don't do this, it's not just about, you know, X amount of dollars extra here to get these people to access your content, but it also means, you know, that he pointed out quite well, is they're not getting their business. And, you know, I think that could be a way to go approach that problem too.
Do you have a
set? Well, it's interesting that you mention multilingual use, because I've done quite a few sites where they've been localized for a variety of different languages. But what you do for that is you usually externalize into XML all of the content, but that ties into the SEO issues and all of that stuff. There isn't any. That's a quick solution to take care of that issue just from a multilingual perspective, but there isn't anything from an accessibility perspective that's that easy, and there's just not a tool.
I just saying that's why I call it universal design when I talk to somebody, because if you follow the WCAG AA standards 2.0, your site at least will basically work in all devices, right? So if they don't have a mobile site, or their site's not mobile ready, or they're not ready to do mobile, at least their site will be viewable on a mobile. It's not that it's ready. It's not perfect for mobile, but at least because your fonts are in percentages, because the way that you do color, because of everything that you handle with the WCAG AA standard, at least that when someone gets it on a tablet or a mobile device, it will work properly enough that people can use it and utilize it. So that's kind of how I approach it. I approach it that it's a universal design standard that really helps with that. And then it also helps with your search engine optimization, which most people are spending a lot of money on their PPC budgets, and anything that can kind of help them with their rankings, they kind of like that as well. So that's usually where I start the conversation. And then I'm like, and by the way, it also helps you increase with these other people. Because you're right, if you come from that angle, usually they won't care. Unfortunately, they should, but unfortunately they just, and in their business, and I understand, they don't think it's part of their market.
I don't know what the organization is in Canada, but I know here in the U.S., it's the National Federation for the Blind is kind of like the big, I guess, advocacy group for the blind. And I know they have a lot of really good stats about how many blind people there are in the U.S., kind of the careers that they span across, income levels, because I think that there's, I mean, knowing Philip, and there are a lot of misconceptions that blind people generally, like, that they're incapable of working or getting an education or something, which is just completely erroneous and stupid.
Right.
And, I mean, there are a lot of, I know quite a few blind, I know some blind lawyers, accountants, programmers, app developers. There's actually a big blind community here in Austin, and quite a lot of app developers and stuff. I mean, who, they have purchasing power. So if you were to take those stats from a marketing perspective, I know whenever I'm trying to convince my CEO that, hey, we need to do this, I always have to give stats. You know, I mean, this is the number of people that we could gain from this. So if we just spend maybe a little bit more money, we can get X amount of ROI. And if you break it down in terms of ROI, sometimes it makes people listen a little bit because everybody likes to get more money.
Right. We do live in a capitalist country, so.
All right. So we've had a couple of other questions that come in via Twitter. And there's one audience member, and I think I've figured out now who he is in the audience, who's playing devil's advocate. And asked, from a corporate standpoint, what about ads? Doesn't everyone have the right to view those? What's the uniform alternative? And ads are, that's kind of an interesting thought. So what's y'all's take on it?
What, advertisement? Banners?
Advertisements, yeah. There are some flash-based banner ads, I think. Right?
I can usually pick up the banner. I've never, using multiple screen readers, because at different times I've used JAWS, NVDA, or system access, and then I use VoiceOver on an iPhone, and you know, the iPhone, completely different story. I try to stay off the internet as much as possible, but on the others, I have no trouble with the ads. I usually skip over them, but
like most people,
yeah.
it's scary when the most accessible thing is an advertisement.
Exactly.
But it means we marketers are doing our jobs.
But I have an advantage because usually the screen reader will tell me it's an ad frame. That I am on an ad frame where it's an inserted ad, and I'll just immediately go to the bottom of that frame.
Like most people.
Yeah.
Just, you know, banner advertisement has like a 0.25 click-through rate, just saying, yeah.
And then we had another question, too. What about efficiency of use? We've seen a drop in productivity of users in Flash applications. Do y'all have any thoughts about the productivity issues with Flash? Or have y'all seen any evidence of that?
I'm confused. What do you mean by productivity issues?
I'm confused. Yeah.
I'm just reading off of Twitter.
we had a bunch of training that was done in Flash. And it was successful. Mm-hmm. And the average sighted user can complete the training in about an hour. The average person on a screen reader can complete the training in about 3 hours. We redid the training in HTML, and the average sighted user can now complete the training in 30 to 45 minutes, and the average screen reader user can complete it in about the same amount of time. And so that's a big jump in people's time to complete this required training for our agency. So just from a productivity standpoint, getting the content to the people quicker because we chose a different technology.
Question was, how did you change the user interaction? Is it just a technology change? Is it apples to apples or apples to orange here in terms of experience?
It's really, it was just a technology change. We went to, because this is one of these, you know, these corporate trainings with know, it's a slide. It's basically it's a glorified slideshow. And the responsiveness of your questions, where we had multiple choice questions so that you can move to the next section, is much faster in HTML. And also just switching slides, moving to the next section.
Who's programming it? I'm just curious. There's that much of a lag time in terms of in the HTML experience, the Flash experience?
Yeah, that's what we're seeing.
Interesting.
And our users are much. We originally deployed the HTML for our users that use assistive technology, and very quickly the URL got out, and we saw a lot more traffic onto that secondary site. To use from everybody wanting to use that because it was much easier and much quicker to use.
Fascinating use case. I'd love to see both examples, the Flash and the regular, and then, you know.
Yeah, it's behind the firewall.
Oh, okay.
Me too as well. The only thing I think of is text-based versus...
Yeah, it's text-based questions.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like a text-based experience is mentally there's something there. I'd have to see it for usability.
Yeah, it's an interesting use case. Without seeing it, it's hard to really define what the difference is between...
For those who can't hear in the back, he's saying that on a training module that they had, the flash time between for sighted users was 1 hour, correct?
Yeah.
And 3 hours for screen reader. But when changed to an HTML version, it became 30 minutes for both. And the only change was the difference in presentation style. So I was asking what the reason was, and we're saying we have to see that because it's such a dramatic change. So, sorry we can't be more helpful without seeing it. But that change is so dramatic, I'd have to see it. That'd be hard to theorize without seeing
Speaking
it.
From the screen reader perspective, even accessible Flash is slower to navigate. Just there's I really can't, you know, put my finger on one thing in particular, but even when it's accessible, things are usually not read as well, and it does take longer to navigate.
So does anybody else have any questions?
So I'm a front-end developer for a university, and I'm just wondering if you all see any kind of issues with websites that are mostly accessibility, like things you see all the time.
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you all that well.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. There's no reason to shout.
Is this on? Check. Cool. So I'm a front-end dev for a university, and I'm wondering if you guys have anything that you see regularly from a development standpoint that is where... I mean, any standpoint, development design, any consistent problem that you would say, if there's one thing I want to fix, this would be it.
Specifically pertaining to accessibility?
Yes.
Mine would be a little probably broader than one thing, but if it's one area, it'd be proper implementation of code. So especially on the HTML side and JavaScripting. So one like knowing to use onClick instead of onMouse. You know, not using device dependency in your JavaScripting. Also, to not use JavaScripting where you can use CSS. There's a lot of people that rely on Dreamweaver to put their code together. I've hard coded for 13 years, and I still do. I still use like HomeSite, believe it or not. You know, because it's just a text base that I can put my code in. I see a lot of Dreamweaver code put together very sloppily. And people, believe it or not, are still using JavaScript rollovers for navigation, things like that. So people getting a properly semantic code, which is all part of the WCAG AA standard, but especially those things, those simple things that could be used, and alt text, understanding how to properly use alt text.
Thank you. I was going to mention alt text and proper labeling of fields and buttons in many cases.
And probably understanding how to do forms and tables.
Yeah, but that, well, tables is a little separate, but... Forms, that goes back into the labeling most of the time.
Yeah.
Tables, uniform tables always work much better. You know, you still have the, make sure you do the row and title, or row and column headings properly. But uniform tables, you know, same number of rows down, same number of columns all the way across helps tremendously.
What they said.
Just really quick, what would be a good book that you would recommend for civility?
I have one Jim Patrick here, but I can't think of the title of it. You know, it's the, well, where'd you recommend Jim Thatcher's stuff?
If you want, I know.
I was trying to think of the name, so I don't know. So let him.
I don't know the names of the books specifically, but I know Bob Regan, who I had mentioned earlier, who worked at Adobe in their accessibility. He's written a few books. If you give me your card, I'll find out from him what would be the best books to find.
Do you guys know Jim Thatcher? Okay. So Jim Thatcher always has on his website a really good set of resources. I would go to his website and look them up. He gave me books when I trained with him, so I can't remember what the titles are. I just have them at home. So, anybody else?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, that's your job. Yeah. I'm tired. No questions. Everyone's asleep. They're like, "Is everyone having a good time at South by Southwest at least?" Right? Yeah. Y'all are amateurs, though. Like, I'm from Vegas. You stop at like 2 a.m. What's that?
Any other questions? Any takers? Going once? Going twice? Sold? Okay, well then, guess we'll wrap it up about 7 minutes early, but I'm sure nobody's going to be incredibly heartbroken about that. That means you get to go to lunch before the 3:30 sessions start, right? Anyway, though, thank you everybody for coming, and we hope you got a lot out of it. And remember that if you're using like the South by Southwest To Go app, that you can rank all of the sessions and give feedback on the website or on the through the app. So if you please remember to do that. And thank you all very much.
As long as you say we're awesome.
Thank you.
Survived.
You did great.
How about you? You did good.
I survived.
You did good.
I survived.
You did good.
That's
stressful
for you.
Devil's advocate.
I've literally hyperbolic while speaking before. Yeah, doing like college, you know, college speech class or whatever. I literally hyperventilate before.
Really?
Yeah, it's.
Right, yeah.
Luckily, I do a lot better when I can improv like this.
Yeah.
I have to have notes and try and listen or read braille.
Although, really just if he could, he totally would. That's what's so funny about it. Like, he used to have, like, military branches calling him, and he'd be like, "Sure, can I be a sniper?" So, no, I was looking around, and I'm like, aha, I figured out who it is. No, you were saying some really good stuff, though. I mean, so. No.
It's ridiculous.
What's really funny,
I'm David,
though,
by the way.
That, like, both of us, like, I've kind of gotten passionate about accessibility.
I don't know about you, but.
But, like, both of us took a play devil's advocate with all of it.
Well, and it's, you know, going back to the privilege or right thing, it shouldn't be a right. Nobody should order. You have to make. Sorry, I kind of came in the middle of this, so I could be coming in off topic completely. But nobody should have to make something accessible. It should be by choice, but I'm going to go to what I can use and what I believe is morally right.
I have a card. He doesn't. He's here now. My name is different now.
Want to, not have to. I'm not a fan of more regulation.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell me.
You know, I know that you should be coming up with a mobile player and
a carrot, not a stick.
All the support that requires is an investment.
But at the same time,
we have actually. I mean, that's my business. Like, I'm actually I'm the marketing manager for we started a website and like a little small thing called Blind Eye Design.
Right.
It was primarily me just designing websites with accessibility in mind, and like we. place to test everything to make sure that's compatible. That is the if you, if you
right.
want to know,
so like you can make like, let's say this. They want, let's just say they wanted to make their.
I'm trying to remember the name of the guy, and I can't think of it now. But he has an example of a website that passes all of your tests.
But those programs.